Coming up on today's show...
It was my pleasure to take St. Louis Cardinal pitcher and good friend of mine, Jeff Suppan, to be the first ever athlete to speak in the Vatican at their sports conference.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. And social media-wise, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at the top of the show website, so you can engage with me and the show that way. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community, which is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. It's no secret that athletes will make a mental note of who has wronged them and then seek revenge. Specifically, I'm thinking of a hockey player who gets hit without seeing it coming, perhaps, say, checked from behind into the boards. Or, of course, when someone from the opposing team, quote-unquote, runs the goaltender. It's usually a case of next shift or next game, meaning that they're going to be out for retribution against the other team's offending player. This is especially prevalent in a best-of-seven playoff series when tension builds, rivalries mount, and the stakes are high. The players have anything but a short memory. The thing is, this mindset is the exact opposite of how we are called to think as Catholic Christians. As much as the heat of battle will cause athletes to react in the moment, we must condition ourselves to operate from a faith foundation. In the Old Testament, we read in the book of Sirach, chapter 27, verse 30, and then chapter 28, verse 7, quote, "Wrath and anger, these also are abominations, yet a sinner holds on to them. Remember the commandments, and do not be angry with your neighbor. Remember the covenant of the Most High, and overlook faults." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a Washington, D.C.-based attorney and former general counsel of the General Services Administration. He served as a lay baseball chaplain for 8 years and is the president and founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ. He has served in sports-related ministry for close to 30 years, including ministries associated with Major League Baseball, the NFL, professional boxing, and youth sports programs. He was a participant in Rome at the Vatican's first-ever sports conference in 2005 and has been working with the Vatican's sports office to promote the church's mission in the United States. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Ray McKenna.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Ray. I've been looking forward to this. We're long overdue to have you on the show, and it's just a coincidence that 2 weeks in a row I have a guest on from the greater Washington, D.C. area. But Ray, is that actually where you're from? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size when you were growing up?
Born and raised in the Bronx, New York, and I'm an only child, so three.
Okay. Well, I really shouldn't assume... But was that, in fact, a Catholic household that you grew up in? And then also tell us about any Catholic education you might have received.
Yes, I was born and raised Catholic, and I'm a product of Catholic education all the way from grammar school through college, and then I went to George Washington Law School, which is not a Catholic school.
What college did you attend that was Catholic?
St. John's University in New York City.
Ah, wow. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. So when did you start taking an interest in sports? What age, which sports did you play, and who got you interested in sports in the first place?
So my earliest memory, I've been interested in sports. Two quick stories. One is my uncle, who was my godfather, my dad, they both played baseball. They both were semi-pro baseball players. My uncle was very accomplished. He was offered a contract by the Yankees, but ironically at the time, things have changed a lot. He couldn't afford to sign with the Yankees because he had to pay the bills and had a day job. And my mom would tell a story that when I was a little boy, she'd take me sometimes to the 5 and 10, 5 and dime store, which I realized I don't have anymore, and ask what I wanted to buy, and I always would say I wanted a baseball, like a rubber ball. And she'd have 100 of these, but my answer would always be ball. So I think my earliest word might have been ball. From as long as I remember.
And for those that are in the audience that are young, I'm just as confused as you at somebody saying, I can't afford to go play for the Yankees. What a unique concept, and how frustrating that must have been, Ray, because for you growing up in the area that you did, that had to be everybody's dream, is to someday play for the New York Yankees.
God knows it was mine, yeah. But yeah, it's back in it, we at Catholic Athletes for Christ was very involved in producing a documentary on the late Gil Hodges, which many people have said was instrumental in getting him belatedly and long overdue into the Baseball Hall of Fame last year. And Gil Hodges and many other players from the eras of the 40s, the 50s, even the 60s, had to have a second job during the off season. Their great right fielder was named Carl Perillo, and he worked in the butcher department of the grocery store in the off season. It's hard to envision, but until the day of free agency, making a baseball salary wasn't anything out of the ordinary.
So what sports did you compete in, and was it recreational? Was it high school? Was it college? Just walk us through all that.
I played just about every sport that I could, mostly first in the streets. I played baseball most primarily in basketball in school. But I, as I said, I went to St. John's University, and I didn't make the baseball team there. I tried. So I was involved with a baseball program in an advisory and a coaching capacity for many years after I graduated also. But there wasn't a sport that I can remember that they played, and that I wasn't interested or somehow involved with.
How important was it to you that these were Catholic schools that you continued to attend?
Not important at all, sadly.
Oh, wow.
In retrospect, incredibly important, but, if I could go back. But at the time, I appreciate very much my mom and dad sacrificing the pay to put me in Catholic school, and I really had a wonderful time there. But shame on me, I didn't really appreciate the beauty and the profundity of the faith, and I was what you probably call a nominal Catholic and remained, years after my graduation. So I'm not proud of that. I'm embarrassed by it, but I want to be honest.
Interesting. I mentioned in the intro that you are an attorney. Did you have your sights set on the legal field when you went to college? Meaning, did you at that point in your life consider anything that would have sports involved, or were you just 100% focused on law only?
I was focused on law from early at least college on. It was always a dream and a goal of mine. So that was kind of my primary focus in school, was to go on to law school and become an attorney.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, when and why did you start Catholic Athletes for Christ? But in that answer, I'd love to hear what changed at some point that you just finished telling us that, no, in hindsight, I wish I realized how important it was to see the Catholic element of the schools I attended, but you said you were a nominal Catholic. So something must have changed at some point that led you to the point where eventually you started up Catholic Athletes for Christ. So walk us through all of that, if you would.
Oh, certainly. It's a good question, and I'll try to make it not too long of an answer. But it's ironic, because, and I'm a big believer, you may be also, Bruce, that the Lord has a great sense of humor. That God has a big sense of humor. I actually became rejuvenated in my Catholic faith through evangelical Protestant sports ministries, because sports, as I mentioned, was always a big part and remains a big part of my life since the first day I remember. So I was invited by a friend at one point to help him with a sports ministry called Baseball Chapel, which still exists, and they do wonderful work. They minister, provide like a sermonette to baseball players in all of the major leagues, all of the minor leagues, and now even in the Latin America and the independent baseball leagues.
Wow.
So I was, ironically, I mean, selected, you know, I was asked to be one of their chaplains, I guess is what you would call it. And I don't think anybody realized at the time that I was Catholic. I may not have fully realized it myself. But over the course of that experience, 8 or 9 years or so, I began to really feel the Holy Spirit had put on my heart, one, that there was a real void, that there wasn't a room for Catholics to practice their faith as Catholics. Because I was, you know, going to Mass, you know, and had been going to Mass most of my life, but I just wasn't as involved with the faith or enthused about the faith as I should have been. But I realized that in baseball, most Catholics didn't have that opportunity to go to Mass during the season, and I felt that that was not right. And I really felt that I'd seen a lot of Catholics, born and raised Catholics, who left the faith because of Protestant sports ministries, and I felt that was not right either. So that's kind of what brought me to Catholic Athletes for Christ, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Praise God for the turnaround, because I'm sure, audience, that you had the same reaction as I when Ray said he was a nominal Catholic, and you scratch your head and say, wait, he founded Catholic Athletes for Christ, connect the dots. So praise God for the way that he moved in that.
That's why I'm a big fan of, you know, St. Paul and, you know, many others who had, like, not that I had a moment like his in Damascus, on the road to Damascus, but if there's hope for me, there's hope for everybody.
I love it. Ray has been successful in getting a tremendous number of individuals from the sporting community active in Catholic Athletes for Christ, including some household names, and I'm going to have him share just a couple of those with us in a minute. But first, someone sent me an email asking for information on sending a check to make a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, and that just means the world to me. This ministry is meant to serve God and to serve you, the audience, and if the work I do moves just one person closer to Christ, then praise God for using Catholic Sports Radio as a vehicle to do that. That being said, this is exactly that, meaning this is a ministry for me. It's not my full or even my part-time job. It's something I felt called to do, as told in a video that I have on the YouTube channel. And so I do this on my own time. That means that I don't get any income from doing this. And since I don't have any sponsors either, I have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover the many expenses you regularly hear me giving examples of over numerous episodes of this show. I do hope that Catholic Sports Radio is helping you in your faith life and that you're finding value in the work that I'm doing through this ministry and, of course, that you are getting enjoyment from listening. Hopeful that that is the case, I would ask that you prayerfully consider supporting my ministry as part of your tithing. The blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure, and you type the exact amount into that online platform, meaning whatever amount you're comfortable giving. It's entirely up to you. There's not a drop-down list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. No amount is too small, and no amount is too big. For those that are hesitant to put credit card information on the internet, simply do what this person I referred to had done and contact me instead, and I will give you the details for sending me a check through the mail, which others have done in the past. You can either message me through social media or send an email to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will personally write you back with that relevant information. As a thank you to anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount or the method, online or check, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode, with your permission, of course, or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous, in which case I will give a generic on-air thank you without naming names. Your support of my work really means a lot to me. I'm grateful for you listening and for considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. Ray, as I was starting into all that, I mentioned the great number of Catholics from the sports world that you've been able to enlist as part of Catholic Athletes for Christ. Can you share just a couple names that the audience would recognize, as well as, like I have found with contacting potential guests for this show, how receptive they've been to being a part of what you do through CAC?
Mm-hmm. Well, just to name a few, for the World of Baseball, Mike Piazza, Mike Sweeney, Mike Socia, a lot of Mikes, and a more current, current day player like Trevor Williams, who became kind of a media sensation during the unfortunate episode with the Los Angeles Dodgers this year, and many from the NFL like Coach Jack Del Rio, defense coordinator of the Washington Commanders, you can go to our website, which is simply www.CatholicAthletesForChrist.org, and see what's not even a full list, but at least a partial list.
Yeah, and folks, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the Catholic Athletes for Christ website. And Ray mentioned Trevor Williams. He was a guest on this show way back in February of 2021. That was episode 106. So if you never heard that one, by all means, do go back and listen. Ray, I mentioned in the intro about your involvement with the Vatican, but can you explain in more detail what all of that has entailed?
It certainly. One of the inspirations behind the founding of Catholic Athletes for Christ, which involved many, many people, by the way, not just me, was the call of St. John Paul II to create, to evangelize the world of sports. And that's what we believe we do. We try to evangelize the world of sports. And in 2004, I believe it was, 2005 period, we were asked to join with the then newly created Vatican Sports Office, which still exists in it kind of a little bit of a different iteration today, founded by John Paul II, to go to Rome and be at the first ever Vatican Sports Conference, as you mentioned. And it was my pleasure to take St. Louis Cardinal pitcher and good friend of mine, Jeff Supon, to be the first ever athlete to speak in the Vatican at their sports conference, and been involved in many ways, but back to the Vatican a number of times since that time to try to be a part of the Vatican's effort to share Catholicism in the world of sports.
Just beautiful, just beautiful. And it's so important, and it's so good to hear the way that that has carried on from John Paul II to Pope Benedict to now Pope Francis. And presumably, Ray, you are still in contact with them. You're still in communication. You're still working in conjunction with them.
Absolutely, and they do a different job, and each is a beautiful reflection. It's kind of a microcosm of Catholicism itself, because as I'm sure your listeners are well aware, Bruce, John Paul II was a great athlete. And Pope Benedict had no interest in athletes and athletics at all. And Pope Francis is a big soccer fan. Yet each of them see the value in evangelization through sports, and they've continued the efforts of the Vatican. And each of them have a different perspective on sports, too, which is important.
As important as it is that Catholic Athletes for Christ gets priests lined up to say Mass in, say, MLB stadiums, for example, can you share about some of the other work done by CAC that maybe isn't as prominently seen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the initiatives we have that's a little over 10 years old began in the Trenton, New Jersey diocese under the leadership of Bishop Dennis O'Connell, which is still flourishing, which is our high school chapter program. We call it our Catholic. It's a contraction of Catholic Athletes for Christ, our Catholic program. And we have chapters all around the country now. The program was put on hold, I guess. No, that's not right. It was kind of negatively influenced by COVID, as most things were. But we're starting up with new chapters that almost come our way every day or every week. So it's basically what the program is. It's a high school ministry. It's an effort to share what we call our theology of sports in the world of high school athletics at high schools, mostly high schools, a few non-Catholic high schools, and share the good news at that level. So we try to support athletes at every level, but most of what we've done has been at the professional and the Olympic level. And we also have some great partnerships, for example, with the Knights of Columbus, where we've done events where we've had coat giveaways, new winter coat giveaways to needy inner city children at the sports teams like the NFL venues and things like that. And so we have a number of different outgrowths of our ministry, which is focused on serving the team and player population to receive the sacraments.
And as people will see when they hit the website, you also have a speakers bureau.
Yes, we do, and we encourage anybody if try to get. It's hard sometimes because the most popular athletes are always the most requested, but it's very hard because of the busyness of their schedule. But we have, and we have more than are listed. We have probably 100, maybe 150 athletes at all levels who want to go out and share their faith, and we would very much encourage anybody who might be thinking about it to invite somebody who's maybe not like a star level player to share, you know, their faith in the context of a Catholic school or a Catholic church or wherever.
Yeah, and I can endorse that notion 100% because, folks, you know, if you've been listening long enough, there have been guests on the show who are not household names yet have had such impactful, such powerful, such moving stories, sometimes very emotional, telling it on Catholic Sports Radio, that I would argue that they would be just as engaging a speaker as someone who you think is there just because of the name. So by all means, do please go deep on that list that you're going to see on the Catholic Athletes for Christ website. Ray, I know that CAC has given a Courage Award, but can you share maybe a feel-good story or two with us out of the countless examples that I'm sure you have from all your years running Catholic Athletes for Christ?
Sure. About the Courage Awards, Bruce, which I think there are a couple of, you know, great stories. The Courage Award, it comes from the fact that we believe in today's day and age that, sadly, just to publicly share the fact that you're a Catholic, a Christian, it takes some courage because there's a lot of hostility towards the message of Christ, and there's sometimes a personal price to pay for being faithful and being publicly faithful and sharing your beliefs. So the Courage Award goes to professional athletes who have been prominent in going out and sharing his or her faith. So we did it, but one of the kind of funny little stories associated with it is one of the Courage Awards a number of years ago went to then Washington Nationals batting coach Rick Eckstein, who I now believe is the hitting coach of the University of Kentucky, but I'm not certain of that. And Rick had gotten the award for, you know, exactly as I said a moment ago, for publicly sharing his faith. But contemporaneous with the award, he also very wonderfully had donated one of his kidneys to his brother, who was in desperate need of it. And so many people incorrectly thought that he was getting the Courage Award for donating his kidney, supposed. And ironically, I think that may have negatively influenced us from getting future awardees because they might have thought that, you know, it was coming at the price of donating a kidney. But it's for boldly sharing the faith far and wide.
But aside from the Courage Award, maybe one other example that you've seen over the years of just somebody doing something that really shows their devotion to their Catholic faith away from the field or the ice or the court.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think. There's so many. If I try to think maybe of a good one, there are many of our players have developed a deep devotion and go to frequent, if not daily, adoration where they can. And many have started their own, like, ministries that have a faith-based element if they're not entirely faith-based in many ways. There's countless stories of players who, you know, in the context of our Speakers Bureau, for example, who just given wonderful witnesses. I've had the pleasure, and it is a distinct pleasure, of being present and to hear them in many cases. And I remember one that I mentioned, Rick Eckstein, his brother David Eckstein, who was the shortstop on the, I think it was 2007 World Championship St. Louis Cardinals, and he might have been the MVP of that World Series. And David is another good friend of CAC's and has shared his faith on EWTN once. And he was asked, you know, by a young athlete, a young boy, if he thought of himself as a role model. This is a question, by the way, our athletes get a lot, as you may understand. And he gave one of the most beautiful answers that I've ever heard. And his answer was to the effect of, I shouldn't be a role model. Everybody should have a role model who's somebody in their house who they say good morning to when they wake up and good night when they say their prayers at the end of the day. So role model should really be, you know, somebody in your family. However, I do realize that as a professional athlete, people are going to look up to me and consider me to be a role model. So therefore, I try to be the best individual, the best Christian, the best person I can be each and every moment, because you never know who might be watching you.
Mm. Wow. Just beautiful. Just beautiful. And it's so great to hear athletes who say that in terms of being on the field of play, being on the court, being on the ice, that they know that there are young people that are going to watch their every move and they're going to listen to what they say. And that is an opportunity to reflect your Christian values and to be proud of your Catholic faith. Ray, let's close by having you share your wife's name, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and the children that the two of you have raised.
My wife's name is Sean. We've been married for a little over 13 years. We have seven children.
What's the age range of the seven children?
They are 31 through 11. And if you're wondering how it's possible to have be married 13 years and have a 31-year-old, it's because my wife, Sean, when we met, was a widow with six children.
Mm. Wow. Wow. And does that mean that you had the opportunity to help raise them in the Catholic faith? How did all that come to play out?
Yes. They're all, you know, raised in Catholic faith, and just wonderful. Seven. They're as different as could be, but as you know, I'm biased, obviously. But I think it's wonderful as could be, and just a wonderful blessing each in his or her own way.
Is there any sports being played or that was played by any of the seven?
The youngest, her name is Amelia. She plays every sport under the sun. It'd be easier to say what she doesn't play. And we've had other children who've played soccer and softball and a couple in baseball, too.
And as you know, those are the great dad moments, just to be able to leave your job aside and have that quality time and be proud of your child and encourage them and just spend that unique time that goes by too fast that you're going to look back and cherish.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that our high school chapters that I mentioned, we're trying to reignite or restore is the idea of father, son, or mother, daughter nights at the stadium or at the parish and breakfast or something like that, because those are irreparable moments.
No doubt. I love it. I love it. Ray, we were far overdue to do this. It was so great to finally have you on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you for the work that you're doing through Catholic Athletes for Christ. Thank you for coming on the show, and God bless you and your family.
My pleasure to be on. Thank you, and God bless you. Count on my prayers.
Thank you so much. And folks, let's close this week's episode by doing our sportsman's prayer. And of course, we will pray it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.